Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome to Food Fight Radio, folks. I'm your host, Claire Katz. And if you've ever joined a line with more than five people in it for a sandwich from a truck, you might be a foodie. I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is the guy who puts the duh in dude, Chef Marcus.
That was great, Claire. The duh in dude.
So how are those surfing lessons going?
Well, the water's warm up now, so I can stay on my board, but I haven't been able to stand up yet.
Uh-huh.
But I stopped falling off as much. So
okay. You're a big guy. You're about the size of an adult sea lion or walrus or elephant seal, maybe, which are actually quite large.
I think that's accurate, yeah.
You got to watch it with those sharks because, you know, you look like a sea mammal. You know, that's not an insult.
No. That's why they attack surfers, because they look like sea mammals.
Exactly. But, you know, you look big and tasty. So
thank you.
You gotta, like, if I were a great white shark, I'd go for you first.
Do we have great white sharks in San Diego? I thought we had just the smaller ones.
They're kind of everywhere, really. I mean, the whole world is their oyster.
I know in Northern California, there was a breeding ground for the great whites in one of the beaches.
How far do you think that it would take for them to get from Northern California to Southern California?
I just thought the water was a little bit too warm here for that.
No, they actually don't mind. They kind of go where the food is. They go where the big chunky surfers are.
Right on.
And there's a lot of them down here. So all I'm saying is just watch out.
So everybody listening, if I'm missing one week, you probably know what happened.
Yeah, that's is because Sharkus, Marcus became Sharkus, the hors d'oeuvre for a great white shark. Just, you know, I'm terrified of the ocean, as you know. So, but, you know, you're more than welcome to flop around in the big, giant, sewage-filled, 100% full, not very full of water, giant pond of primordial ooze.
That's what we all came out of. I mean, we're made of that stuff.
That doesn't mean that we should go back in it. Because really, if you think about it, the ocean is just constantly trying to kick us back out again.
That's what the waves do.
Yeah. Get out. Just get out. Just don't come in here. What are you, stupid?
That's fun.
There's everything in the ocean is either bad for you, poisonous, sewage-like, or toxic that we've put in, or it's kind of trying to eat you. So I'm over the ocean. I mean, it's pretty to look at.
It's fun to play in.
It's dirty. Today on Food Fight Radio, we'll be telling you what to do with that piece of salmon you just got at the store that you figured you'd get because it's supposed to be good for you, and now you have no clue what to do with. We also have Dave the Vitamin Guy coming up.
Love that guy.
He's fantastic.
He is fantastic.
We're going to be talking about hanging with the stones. Gallstones, kidney stones, all of our favorite stones, that is. 20 to 30% of men past a certain age do have an experience with stones, some kind of a stone, and you can prevent them. And for all of you out there that have had them, it is excruciatingly painful when it happens. So preventing these things is a good idea.
I have never had them, but I have some really strong, tough friends that have had them. And
it turns strong, tough men into quivering little crying babies on the floor.
Yeah.
That's how painful it is. And did everyone get a chance to check out the video of our interview with Dan Aykroyd on our website? Because if you haven't, you have to check it out. It was great. I got him to insult me. He's the coolest guy in the world. Super nicest guy. You know, hugs, kisses, friendly to everyone. And I actually got him to insult me, which is awesome in my experience. It was my birthday, best birthday present ever. That's how we roll. This is Food Fight Radio. So foodies have recently been taking a hit on Twitter. Were you aware of that?
No, not at all.
The Office's Mindy Kaling ignited a minor tweet storm when she posted that she is, quote unquote, over foodies, suggested a name change, and says fooders are foodies, but they keep a lid on it a little bit.
Fooders.
They let you order in under 10 minutes, she says. So I'm okay. I'm what's supposed to describe myself as a fooder. Because people don't necessarily like dining with me. Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? Why don't you put a lid on it, Mindy? Or better yet, put a bag over it.
There we go.
You're an it girl. Yeah, that's a current euphemism too, Mindy, like foodie. It means now. Trendy. Of the moment. You think your little shtick on the Mindy Project can replace Carrie Bradshaw's awesomeness? I know that's what you're trying to do. You've been talking about it. Let me ask you this. Can you run in heels? I don't think so. Now, I'm all for a chubby little somewhat talented it personality getting 15 and a half seconds of fame, but try to understand. Just because you get tired of a word does not mean you get to have a say in its use. People are still using little euphemisms, PC, an overshare, flexitarian, or millennial, which is, I'm sure, what you are, Mindy, because only a millennial would say, I'm bored of this word, so I'm going to just tell everyone to stop using it because I'm on TV. I have 6 million empty-headed Twitter followers, so instead of like saying something actually helpful to my fellow man, I'm going to use my celebrity influence to say I'm over foodies because they bum me out, man. Hey, just because we sometimes like to meet the pig before we eat it doesn't mean we're any less fun than an overrated, puffed-up, little short-skirt-wearing twit. You're just picky about what we put in our mouths, which I guess, Mindy, you wouldn't understand. Rose in the ranks kind of quickly there, didn't ya? I'm just saying. And don't get me wrong, I love watching The Office. I just think you're a little bit more suited to a position under a desk. That's all. Don't make fun of foodies, folks. We make what's for dinner. You don't bite the hand that feeds you, am I right?
Right.
Because we'll all go eating disorder on you. We'll chew you up and spit you out. Now, what would you do with that piece of salmon you buy at the store? I know everyone has this thought when they're going through the grocery store. They see salmon. You know, they're like, oh, salmon's good for me. I don't really like fish. You know, I don't really like salmon. I don't know how to cook it. But I know I should eat it because it's good for me. It's salmon. So you buy it, right?
Exactly.
You buy it, you take it home. It sits in your fridge for a couple of days. And then you're like, oh, this is going to go bad. I should cook this. And then you still don't know what to do with it. Generally what I do, and you can tell me what you do, a quick and simple way to deal with this quickie is you heat up your broiler, you wash and dry the fish, salt, pepper, paprika, dill. Stick it on a baking sheet, 2 to 3 inches from the heat, 7-8 minutes, that's about it. Open it with a fork to check for doneness, and there you go. The quicker it cooks, the juicier it will be, and the simple treatment with the seasoning is the bomb. What do you think?
I like a little lemon juice, salt and pepper, again, wash and dry, and I like it with skin on, heat up a skillet or a cast iron pan, and then place it skin side down, never flip it. Cook it for about 3-4 minutes. The skin will be delicious and crispy, and it will cook medium on the inside, which is how I like my salmon, and it's beautiful. Just that way, just sit on there, let it cook, don't flip it, comes out beautifully.
So it's not flipped, which means the meat side is not getting cooked.
It is, just the heat's going through the skin, so it's going slower.
So you don't get that nice sear. It's going to be kind of fish color.
The sear is on the skin, right, and it's crispy.
So
it's
your
lovely.
Take is eat the skin.
Oh, yeah.
I don't eat the skin.
Mm.
And I'm all for crispy skin. You've seen me around a roasted chicken.
Yes.
But on fish, you know, not so much. And I think generally people don't like to eat the skin of the fish, usually. So having a nice, beautiful char on it.
Yeah.
Pointless for the people who don't want to eat the skin.
Well, they're missing out.
They may be missing out. But I had the collar. It was yellowtail collar. I had that yellowtail collar at that Blind Burro place. Super fantastic. But it's a lot of fun to dig the oily meat out of all those little crevices and nooks. They're really, really good. But you know what? If you're going to eat fish, go over that thing with a pair of tweezers or needle nose pliers. Seriously. Even if it says filleted, you know, boneless.
Yeah.
There's always a few of those bones in there just waiting for you. Seriously, I just hate having to be super careful with every bite just because I could get a fish bone lodged in my tongue. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate finding a bone. That's why I don't make salmon or fish that often, like unless I get the whole fillet myself and I clean it.
I like to get excited about my food when I'm eating it.
Yeah, I don't like to be scared.
I don't have to be like carefully tonguing my way around the meat to make sure there's no bone in it before I swallow it. That's a lot of work for me.
Or just destroying the piece of meat before you cut it in your mouth and it's all mushy.
Yeah, lame. You know, you got to like practically puree it before you can eat it. Just go over it first, and you don't want your little kid to get a fishbone lodged in their throat. I mean, you don't want to get one stuck in your tongue. Happened to my husband one time. He didn't eat fish for like 10 years.
That's fair.
Coming up after this quick break, things people eat just because they can. Just because you can chew it up and get it down doesn't mean it belongs on your plate. Sea urchin, shark fin, bird's nest, maggot cheese, balut, stinkhead fish, live sushi, aspic, very popular, blood sausage. Confused? These are actual foods that you can get in the States, not just in the Philippines. Stay tuned to Food Fight Radio on KCBQ.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. Eat in, take out, or delivery. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com. Limited delivery area.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your hostess, who misses hostess, Claire Katz. In me with studio is my good friend, Chef Marcus, who, did you hurt yourself? Because you took off at a run.
Oh, no, no, I was just practicing my juking, moving.
your what?
You know, in your football, when people try to tackle you, you move out of the way quick.
You're just like, oh, we need some coffee. We should be back on the air in like 8.5 seconds, and you're, whew. I mean, I think you took out a door jam with you.
I didn't hit anything.
Unbelievable. I mean, I was expecting to hear a whoa and a smack, which would have been like a trip and a fall on your head whacking into a wall or something.
Much like the big water mammals you were
actually quite graceful in the water.
I'm actually quite agile when I need to be.
That was impressive. I mean, I couldn't have done that. So it was like looking at me like I'm being super extra tough on Mindy Kaling. You know, her real name is Vera Chokalingam. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, that's smart. If that was my name, I would take that to the stage.
I would change it, too. I don't know where the Kaling came from. I mean, it fits the first name, Mindy, which is also not her real name.
No.
But she doesn't look like a Vera.
No.
At all. She certainly doesn't look like a Miss Chokalingam, you know? But
I can't think of any proper person that would have that name, Chokalingam. I like when I think of it.
Oh, I think that in India, there are whole legions of people named Chokalingam. But
I
think they're too embarrassed to move here.
Up laughing right
because
now. I know that's wrong.
It's a bad name.
It's just,
and I can see why she changed it, and I support that decision. I don't support the making fun of foodies thing, and I will tell you why. Because we know you don't like going out to restaurants with us. We know you don't like how long it takes us to go over the menu at places. We know that you don't like how we know everything about food, and before you've even had a chance to order it, we'll tell you where that animal came from, what it was raised on, why you should have this entree over that entree, why we're morally opposed to anything made with genetically modified corn, and therefore you can't get that entree that comes with the house-made corn tortillas. You just can't.
You can't.
And we won't let you. We are very good to have around in a pinch. Like I said, if you had to be stranded with someone on a desert island, you would want us. You would want the foodies. You would not want Mindy Kaling with you because she would annoy you to death. the little squeaky voice, honestly, the little millennial attitude, you know, she's just like every other millennial. They don't understand or even feel a responsibility to learn the things that happened before they were born. This is a millennial thing. And I'm glad I'm beyond that generation now, because no one has any respect for them. And really, why would you? You say, oh, okay, you know, John Lennon, who's that?
Yeah,
Leonard Nimoy? Who's
like,
Leonard Nimoy?
Like, growing up, there's a lot of people or a lot of movies my generation watched. Casablanca, Citizen Kane, they were made before us. Everybody
classics.
Referenced the classics.
Yeah.
Everybody referenced them, and we're like, okay, we have to go see these.
Yeah.
Now there's
so
a bunch
we
of
do.
Reference.
So we feel a responsibility to go and watch these movies so that we're in the know. We want to be knowledgeable.
Yeah. And
so we don't come off as stupid.
Yeah.
That's why.
And I think they just come off like, okay, well, they're in the past.
They're in the past.
It's a new era with us.
Here's the millennial thing. Moving forward. We're moving forward. We're not looking back. We don't feel a responsibility to look back or learn from our parents' mistakes or non-mistakes or anything in human history that clearly has a lot more to teach us than 19 episodes of The Mindy Project is ever going to teach us. But they don't feel a responsibility to learn that stuff. And that's why, really, I have no respect for them. And anyone who makes fun of foodies, I take that stuff seriously, man.
It's silly because, I mean, with being a foodie, you just really appreciate food.
You appreciate
where
food.
Where it's come from and your knowledge. Now, I understand.
There's many degrees.
Like when we're talking to the vitamin guy, he really understands that. And sometimes I get lost in his explanations.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that he's trying to get me to understand this world I know very little about. That's good for me.
Yeah,
I would just
exactly.
like the same respect. You know, here we are talking about these things. Hey, just listen. You'll learn more about it and you'll appreciate it more. It's not just something you shove in your face. It's something that keeps you alive and that you enjoy doing.
Exactly. And just because you can shove it in your face
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean you should. So, I mean, there are some nasty foods that people do eat and eat daily in some places. Some of those places are in the United States.
You made half of those things up before the break, right?
I did not. These are all real things. Some, you know, some remote states to be sure, but some of these nasty foods are available in major cities. Major cities full of buildings and technology and computers and people that eat this stuff. It's, I guess, normal is a pretty subjective term, but it's normal for Filipino children to have balut for breakfast.
Now, balut. Now, I think of the bear with Mowgli.
You're thinking of balu?
Oh, yeah. Like if you would chop them up, you would have balut.
You'd No. That'd be balu sushi.
Balu
that'd
sushi.
Be balu carpaccio is what that would
steak?
Be. And don't get me wrong. I would eat that. But balut is basically a fertile, hard-boiled duck egg. So it's a duck egg.
Damn.
You know, normally if you open a duck egg, it's
my
got the
stomach just turned.
White and the yolk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is fertile. So it's been fertilized, which means it's growing a baby duck in it. And if you hard boil this thing, if you take it all apart and see what's on the inside, like is like what you would experience if you bit into this thing, what you would notice is that there is a teeny fetal duck inside, teeny tiny, complete with feathers, a spine, a beak, little baby flipper feet. And this is not any more better for you. It's not any more nutritious than a duck egg.
It's not like sprouted beans
or
sprouted nuts that are supposed to be easier to digest?
No, not at all. It's not any better for you than if you were to eat a plain old, non-fertilized, regular old duck egg. Which is basically, folks, exactly the same as a chicken egg. It's just a little bigger. It doesn't taste different. A duck egg tastes the same, in my opinion, as a chicken egg. Kind of depends on what the animal's been eating, but if it's walking around pecking stuff off the ground and eating corn and eating duck feed or chicken feed, it's an egg. It's a bigger egg. Better breakfast, right? But not when it's got a tiny, premature,
chewy bit.
Aborted baby duck.
Yeah.
Ducks are kind of cute, you know? And a fetal baby duck isn't any less cute. It's so pathetic. If you Google this, you will see pictures of what's on the inside of a balut. Now, this is normal for children in other countries to eat this for breakfast. It's like eating a giant hard-boiled egg. It's good for you, but it doesn't have to be that way. You could eat just a regular hard-boiled egg. It'll be the same nutritionally, and it won't be disgusting and mean and makes you seem like you have no soul because you're eating a tiny baby fetal duck. They also eat chocolate meat for dinner, which is a chicken stew. It's a dish that's made with the blood of the chicken.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. It's very stinky.
It's not chocolate.
Here's some more. Corn smut.
Is that a corn that gets around?
No. But it's a plant fungus, It's a very easy corn. It's corn that just
it has something growing on it.
Really likes to date. It wears shorter corn silk than the what? No, too far. Corn smut disease is it's a disease. Stop laughing.
Corn smut. Corn,
it's corn smut. It's a disease. It's a fungus.
That's what
it's a
get.
Fungus that grows on corn and a couple other plants. It forms these galls, and it basically takes a corn kernel, like a niblet on the corn husk, right? It makes it blow up to gargantuan size, turn fuzzy and purple and brownish and gray and disgusting looking. Now, normally, if we saw this thing growing on our crops, we would burn the whole field. It usually is used chopped up, prepared as a filling in quesadillas and other tortilla-based foods and soups and stuff, but they eat it. It's called huitlacoche.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You've heard of that?
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I've seen that on Zimmern. Yeah. But there's no way it tastes good. I mean, it looks like a giant piece of corn-shaped fungus. Disgusting. But it's very popular in Mexican cuisine and cooking.
It's probably a good cheese substitute because, I mean, mold and fungus, not fungus.
There are
mold.
A lot of rotten things that would be a good cheese substitute
if
you really think about it.
If you don't have many milk producing cows and you have this in the quesadilla.
Who would eat that? Who would be the first guy to walk into his cornfield and say, hey, my corn here kind of looks a little bit sick. What's this disgusting thing growing on it? I think I'm going to eat that.
This is my theory. I just made it up. So give me a second.
All right.
You know family's coming over and you got that one you just don't like so much.
Ah.
So you make a casserole, right? And you make sure his piece has that piece in it so he doesn't know. And you're thinking, good, he's never going to come over and eat again. And then he's like,
oh, this is delicious.
This is the best casserole ever. And you're like, you got to be joking.
You jerk. You've just ruined my day.
Hate that. I think that's how it happened.
You know what? I think you're right. So there's balut. There's that. Shark fin? Probably not all that disgusting. It's a medicine, but shark fin soup. Expensive and popular in a lot of Asian countries. It's supposed to be an aphrodisiac, make you live longer, give you more male vitality, all that good stuff. It's the cartilaginous non-meat part of a shark that's been overfished. So on top of the fact, and I don't like sharks. I think I don't have really a problem with the fact that sharks are being fished to extinction because sharks are mean.
They're just hungry.
Okay, but they could be eating the people that are splashing around in the ocean like you.
Yeah.
You know, so the more sharks we kill off, the better. I just don't see the necessity to eat just the fin and just chop up the fin to tiny little hard, impossible to chew through pieces and put that in soup. You know, it's like an old man soup, really. You have an old Chinese guy
strong, I eat shark. As opposed to they eat meat.
Then you have a nice shark steak and you put it on the grill.
I agree.
Sea urchin, the uni.
Is that
not,
the one that gets
meat.
Rid of all of its stuff in the same area it eats stuff in?
You mean pigs?
No, like the same. It has one entrance and exit valve, just to put it nicely.
Okay, well, that's also true about chickens. Sea urchin, you're not eating the animal's meat. It doesn't really have a lot of meat. What you're eating is its roe. It's reproductive stuff.
Okay.
It's seed of its next generation, the male and female stuff mixed together in one animal. It's gross. They take off the spines. They flip it over. They open it up. There's these disgusting grapefruit-looking sections on the inside. They take it out. That's what you're eating. It's not sea urchin meat. It's sea urchin... bird's nest. The stuff that's made from these tiny cave-dwelling birds, the nest's made out of its saliva. A young bird will make a nice clear nest. An older bird will make a brown dirty nest. And they grade them and price them accordingly. People put it in soup. It's basically saliva soup. Maggot cheese.
Okay.
You're asking me about this one earlier.
Yeah, I thought
people
you were totally lying when you
said that. Intentionally leave the cheese out until this one specific species of fly climbs all over it, lays its eggs. These eggs turn into maggots. The maggots eat all the cheese and then poop it out. In the same cheese mold. So the cheese is now no longer cheese. It is now fly poo.
So now if I were going to, it would be maggot processed cheese.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to vomit.
Yeah, right. But it's been processed by maggots. Yeah. So they eat it. Marcus looks a little green,
folks. Maybe we should come back
a little bit. 100-year-old egg. We'll skip that one. 100-year-old egg. It's not really 100 years old. They bury it
in
for
poop,
a while.
Right?
Live sushi, people chop up a live octopus, put it quivering on your plate. It still jiggles on the way
That's
down your throat.
Mean. That's just cruel.
It's mean and cruel. I don't approve it. Next up after the break, we'll be talking about the cutest, most crazy, you know, just wonderful things that you can make out of disgusting foods that you should never eat. And we're also going to be talking about cooking etiquette, cooking for people with needs, and how you should treat a chef in your life who is cooking you dinner. I am sick and tired of how people talk to us when we're in the kitchen cooking steak. Come on.
I got a list.
You got to stay tuned to find out. This is Food Fight on KCBQ.
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating
education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county. Specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio on KCBQ. I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is a very green-looking Chef Marcus. We were talking previously in the last segment about disgusting foods, that just because you can eat them doesn't mean you should. I do have a saying, just because you can eat it doesn't mean you should. It's very similar to, you know, just because you can cook doesn't mean you should.
Because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Doesn't mean you should. Yeah. Okay. Because you can chew it up and suppress the gag reflex and get it down your gullet, that doesn't mean you should eat it. We are talking about maggot cheese, and I just have to go over this a little bit more because...
That should have never been invented. Like, I understand
if you're
starving and you see something, eat it, and you're like, okay, I can't eat it. You come back, they're all gone, and it kind of looks the same, but in little pellet forms because it came out of maggots.
Oh, then you're going to love this because the maggots aren't gone when people eat it.
Oh.
They're still in there. They're not big maggots. We're not talking about real house flies.
I just had that thing when I was a kid. I remember talking about it on the radio where I had a Swiss Miss I thought had marshmallows in it.
Right.
And it turned out it had maggots in it.
Right.
And I was drinking chocolate covered maggots.
That's why we're going to keep talking about this until you spew. It's these are little fruit flies. So their babies are small. The larvae are small. The maggots are teeny tiny. There's thousands and thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at the cheese, it moves.
I'm just picturing a Velveeta block that these flies are eating.
Oh, it's a lot more brown and crumbly, and some parts of it are more liquidy. So they put this out. Someone, I guess, who is as you describe, you know, went out, looked at their cheese, and said, oh, the flies got to this, but the cheese is still there. Wonder what it tastes like. And they were probably very drunk. There's no way someone would taste this stuff if they were sober. And so they probably smeared it on a cracker and said, hey, that's not so bad. It's got kind of a weird gamey flavor, which I don't necessarily mind. And, you know, people who like stinky cheese, they like stinky cheese. They like it because it's stinky. I can understand why somebody smelled this stuff and said, hey, it's not the worst thing I ever smelled. It certainly doesn't smell like I would expect it to after it's been digested and expelled by maggots. But they decided to eat this stuff. Now it is a delicacy. It's a delicacy. People in some places, they just love this stuff. They eat it. It's like traditional. It's a family tradition.
I've decided the word delicacy means it's disgusting.
Yeah, it generally does.
Because when you say delicacy, I know it's delicate. It's nice.
Is also disgusting.
An aphrodisiac is also
and doesn't work.
Con.
Yeah, waste of time.
Say,
yeah, gigantic
con.
Waste of time.
I can get you to buy this product. Here, this shark fin will make you more of a man.
Yeah.
It's just cartilage.
Exactly. Gross. 100-year-old egg, we were talking about that. One thing I noticed with live sushi, and this is going to break your heart, frogs.
Oh.
Frog sushi. I like frogs. They're really cute.
They are.
I used to have pet frogs when I was little. They're little suckers and teeny tiny baby ones. Frogs are adorable, people. And sure, the big frogs, slightly less adorable, obviously. But those are the kind of stuff that people make into frog legs.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't have a problem with eating them. Sushi chefs, and I don't know why they're called chef, because there's no cooking in the preparation of the sushi.
Food artiste.
Yeah, food artiste. Whatever. You know, like a sandwich artist. Or a barista?
Call
them fooders.
It just sounds like such an insult.
It does. It's a slap in the face.
It is. Yeah. I mean,
it's like calling somebody like a butthead or something. You're a fooder. It's awful. And I will slap anyone who calls me that. I don't care how famous they are. And I will continually defend us foodies vehemently on the radio. Cooking etiquette. And you're looking still green, by the way. Maggot cheese. I'm going to smear that on a bagel and bring it to you for work. Yeah. So cooking for people with, quote unquote, and I'm air quoting here, which is something
Dorian
I generally
under
don't
your
do.
Desk next Friday.
You would, and now I know where to look. I'm going to put it in your radiator, too. I'm going to put maggot cheese in the radiator of your car.
Well, wouldn't that purify it?
I don't know.
It might taste better if it was covered in gas.
It might be cooked. If you cook it and kill all the maggots, could you eat it then?
No.
No, still no. Still no, and it's not going to smell any better when it gets hot, by the way. There's no way.
And a whole other generation.
Reminds me
of
that other delicacy that people like in Alaska, stinkheads.
Okay, I don't even know what that is.
It's rotten salmon. It's a salmon that's been just kind of left to rot, and then they kind of mash it all up, and then they put it on toast and things, and it's breakfast. What? Jellied moose nose? That's where that came from, because they have the moose up
there. I just thought that was moose burgers.
No, they take the nose, and it's stewed.
Okay.
And it turns into a softer substance. It's not a jar of jelly.
No,
it's the way they prepare it. It's jellied. It turns into like a thick, gummy, giant black gummy bear, really. If you think of, you know, like a moose nose, you know, it's got the cartilage in it.
I had a nice breakfast, and I just feel it wanting to come back up.
Yeah. See, this is why I'm bringing all this stuff up, because I like it when you turn green. You match your shirt.
Thank you.
See, Marcus is very colorful today. Cooking for people with quote unquote needs, and I'm doing air quotes here, and I don't generally do air quotes, but these people's needs aren't actual needs.
Yes.
Go on with your bad self. I know you have a bone to pick with this, because we were chatting about this earlier in the week, and you were mad about something, so tell us why you're mad.
So there was once, I can't have raw onions. And I know there's some allergies out there, or some digestive problems where you can't have raw onions. But it's super rare, and these people just don't like the spiciness. And they come into your house, you're making everybody a nice meal, and they come in at the last minute and tell you this. That's just upsetting. If you know you're coming to me, I'm making you food. We have a date a week out. You say, hey, by the way, I'm blah. It's not that big of a deal. But right then, you just made me want to punch you in the face.
And saying I'm blah pretty much wraps it up.
I'm blah. I can't have garlic.
I'm a pointless friend.
Yeah.
I'm going to come over and I'm not going to appreciate usually, this incredible thing that you're doing, sharing
honesty,
your gift.
Usually
with
it's a plus one. Usually it's not your friend or the person
the
you invite.
The annoying girlfriend that comes with them.
Or the annoying boyfriend that comes with them. Yes.
Who says, I don't eat mushrooms.
Like,
and then your response is
mushrooms and mushroom. It's a mushroom. We're celebrating mushrooms.
Your response is you can't eat mushrooms or you don't eat mushrooms. And then all of a sudden, I don't eat mushroom turns into I'm allergic. Uh-huh. It's when people make up the fact that they're allergic to something when you know they're not. Because if you have an allergy to something, you get a rash or your throat swells or it blocks your airway. Something swells up. Something gets itchy. I'm allergic to a couple of things. You know what? I eat them anyway. They make my tongue itch. Eggplant makes my tongue itch.
Yeah, yeah.
Ratatouille is tasty. You know, you're going to eat it even though it's going to make your tongue itch.
Exactly.
Fresh pineapple, bananas, raw tomatoes sometimes make people's tongue itch.
Yeah, well, they're part of the nightshade family. So, yeah, that's very common.
That doesn't mean you're allergic to it. That means that your skin is reacting to something that's in it. An allergic reaction, folks, makes you deathly ill. It sends you to the ER epinephrine shot.
People have peanut allergies.
Yeah, and then there are people who have a peanut preference.
And then nobody has a garlic allergy.
Right.
In comparison. You're not going to eat
garlic. But people pretend that they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like, no, it'll kill me. You're like, no, it's garlic. It's cooked.
I'm sorry, Count Dracula, but you're not allergic to garlic. Sorry. It's not going to do anything to you.
Get over it. It helps mosquitoes not eat you. Eat it. Love it. Go away.
Other than that, forgetting that, it's delicious.
Yeah.
It's an enhancer. It's a great flavor enhancer. You can put it in darn near everything, and you can't taste that it's in there if it's been put in there in the right way.
Yeah, it just lends itself
down.
If
you cover something with a big pile of ground up, fresh, raw garlic, it's going to taste very garlicky and disgusting. But if you're not a cook, you don't know what I'm talking about. You put garlic in while you are cooking.
Always.
And then the garlic is cooked. It becomes very mellow. You ever notice how roasted garlic tastes different than raw garlic? Roasted garlic is very mellow. It's got a wonderful, smoky, cooked, slightly poignant flavor.
Yeah.
If for lack of a better word. And you can spread it on things. It tastes fantastic. You ever had that giant elephant garlic?
Yeah.
Or the black garlic?
Not the black garlic.
Black garlic is cool.
Nice.
I mean, it's black. It's dark. I mean, you open it up and it's got these cool, dark, gray, black garlic cloves. What's cooler than black garlic cloves?
I don't know.
It's really awesome looking.
Oh, I want to go find some.
You got to find it. And then you put them in there whole. You don't cut them up. You don't mash them.
You got to roast
them. That'll make your food gray. But you put them in there in like a wonderful cambazola cheese dip.
Yeah.
With artichoke hearts.
Yeah. An artichoke.
Whole black garlic cloves.
Yeah.
Give people some bread.
Uh-huh.
And that thing will be gone in 8 seconds.
See, I think I know why people assume they're allergic to garlic.
They don't want to have breath.
I was once dared to eat a raw clove of garlic on an empty stomach.
Ooh.
And I almost keeled over. Like,
it
was painful.
Yeah. It's very acidic. But you know what? People who don't cook, you know, very ignorant the subject. They're walking into your home. You're a chef. You're clearly not ignorant on the subject. Everything you've ever made is tasty.
Yeah.
But these people have the nerve to walk up and give you what I think is a rude, hard time.
Yeah.
It's very rude. It's very disrespectful. It's mean.
Mm-hmm.
You are the one cooking. You're the one sharing your knowledge and experience. Everyone's going to have a wonderful, pleasant meal because of it. And then this person who has a preference, air quotes again, this is a preference. Keep your stupid preferences to yourself. We're cooking. We don't care.
We're cooking what we want to cook.
Yeah. Whatever we think is delicious, you're going to find it delicious. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, there is something wrong with your tongue. Your tongue is defective. If you don't find delicious the same food that we as chefs find delicious, your taste buds are defective. You're either a smoker or
that's a big one.
You've been living on a no-salt diet or a diabetic diet and all you've had is vegetables and oatmeal for your whole life. Your tongue is not a broad-horizoned sort of experienced sort of set of taste buds there. You don't know what you're talking about. Therefore, you should say nothing.
Yeah, you should, okay, let me try it. There's a professional, someone who's given their life.
You should sit down at the table. You should take your little hands, cross your hands in front of you on the table, be polite, shut the heck up, and enjoy the food.
Give it a shot. If you don't like it, if you No, you didn't like it going in there, but you give it a shot. Isn't that what we tell everybody to do? Try it.
Try it. I try everything twice.
Yeah.
Sometimes I regret it. I still do it. You know, I tried durian twice. I went home with a tummy ache.
Yeah, but you tried it.
I tried it twice. I gave it another shot. Jeff went running for the hills. Our board op, who's looking at it, was like, you know, what did I do? Stop picking on me. And that was funny because the face, I didn't hear any sound because there's this glass window between us. So I can't hear what he's saying unless he chimes in on the radio here. But I can see his little face through this window here. And his little face was horrified.
Oh, yeah.
It was rightfully funny
so.
As heck.
Rightfully so. That was disgusting.
Yeah. But really funny. I'm sorry we're not on TV because that would be just...
That would be beautiful.
That would be righteous. Next up after the break, we're talking about tomatoes. The kind that make my tongue itch. I still love them. Not the rotten ones. Not the ones I have hidden in my purse here to be flung at the giant head of my co-host.
Hey.
The nice ones. Fresh ones. Vine ripe sweet ones. The ones that make the best pasta sauce. The ones that are the best for a raw caprese salad. Tomatoes. I like tomatoes. I'd cover my face if I were you making faces at me like that. I've got a handful of vine-ripe tomatoes with your name on them. Up next on Food Fight Radio. Stay tuned, folks.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Mira Mesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiraMesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz, and while my co-host cleans up his face, make sure you get all the pulp out of your eyes.
That was mean.
That stuff stinks. Aww. Let's get started on Tomato Talk. This is going to be a new show. It's not going to be Food Fight Radio. It's going to be Tomato Talk, and the whole time we're going to talk about nothing but tomatoes.
That person has nice tomatoes.
Most people use plum tomatoes, like Roma tomatoes, for sauce, and many of these, you know, don't really taste as good as the standard types. There's like Opalka. It's an elongated plum type. It's an exception. My standard types, like Andrew Rahart tomatoes or Acres West Virginia tomatoes, they're meaty.
They make
a good tomato paste.
Yes.
So do many heart-shaped tomatoes, like the Reef Red Heart or German Strawberry. It's hard to find these things in the grocery store because when you're walking around the grocery store, it just says tomatoes.
Tomato or vine-ripe tomato or
that
beef
come on a
steak.
Vine.
Tomato, yeah.
There's the ones that are attached to the vine still.
We didn't take them off the vine for you because we think you'll buy them that way.
Yeah, we'll pay more if it's attached to the vine. Because the ones that don't come on the vine, you don't know for sure whether or not they actually grew on a vine. They might have been artificially grown on electrical wires.
That would be awesome.
And
I would
genetically altered, electrically induced tomatoes. But there are certain types of tomatoes that are better for certain things.
Have you ever made marinara with yellow tomatoes?
I have seen it. I've never done it.
I've done it. It's fun.
I like the red.
Yeah, the red is a cool color. It's just something fun to do because you have an extra amount and they're going bad.
Here's the funny thing about the yellows. They don't seem as hearty.
No,
so the food that you make with them, they are as hearty, but they don't look as hearty because of the color. And they also kind of look like unripe tomatoes.
They break down quicker, too. I'm not sure if they are. I mean, they might be good when raw, but when you cook them, they fall apart sooner.
Which is not necessarily good for a nice, thick, sweet tomato sauce.
You have to throw some more veggies in there, but yeah.
Yeah, but for a tomato sauce, you want a smaller tomato, a plum-sized tomato, that is very meaty.
Yes.
And by meaty, I mean it doesn't have a lot of open, juicy sections with pulp in it. It's got a lot of thicker, heavier, the grainy meat.
Yeah.
The tomato meat. It just kind of makes me like tomatoes better that you can call them meaty. Because you know how I feel about meat. I gotta have meat and everything.
And everything. Also, the smaller ones, the juicy parts themselves are more jelly-like as opposed to juicy, so they help your sauce hold together as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a characteristic of the smaller tomatoes.
Yeah, so you can throw in the whole tomato.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and it cooks down quickly. The longer cooking times actually do hurt the flavor of the sauce. And the brightness of the tomato is lost a lot of the time if you overcook it. So cooking less is key, and using the right tomato for the job. So you want a tomato that's less juicy, has more meat, is smaller and plum-sized, and you want to put your sauce together quickly.
Yes.
And beyond that, I mean, you want it to be thick.
Now, there's a caveat to that. If you're using canned tomatoes because you want a like product, you do want to give them a little bit more time on the stove to take out some of the extra water and stuff they put in there. I mean, you can drain it, but you want that flavor in that water.
Yeah, it's very different from cooking with fresh tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah. If cooking with canned, you want to give them a lot more time.
And a lot of people do that because it's a shortcut. It's a time savings, and there's nothing wrong with it.
And you know what you're getting. Yeah. Like, you know, some tomatoes, it might be sweeter or soury, like if you don't get them as ripe as they look. But in a can, it's pretty much always the same acid level.
And what I usually do is I use a combination of fresh and canned.
Yeah, and I'll throw the fresh in at the end.
Because cooking down the fresh tomatoes, it's kind of a hassle, and tomatoes are expensive.
Yeah.
Good, locally grown, ripe tomatoes. Not only that, you can't always get them, and they're not always ripe.
Exactly.
So they're not always in season. So it's like you're, making real, authentic spaghetti sauce for 1 week out of the year. There you go. It's spaghetti sauce season.
Voila.
And spaghetti sauce season is over, folks. Go get some cans of tomatoes. You can get experimental with the real ones. You can grow them. I recommend to people that you just start growing your own tomatoes.
Tomatoes are one of the easiest plants that produce food that you can keep alive. It's one of the most hardiest ones. So if you're going to start gardening, use tomato plants because you'll have a better success rate.
Yeah, you'll feel like you have a green thumb.
There we go.
Even though you don't. Even though you'll kill everything else, your tomatoes will grow.
Yes.
And they'll grow vine-like.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is cool. The best thing I like about tomatoes is the smell.
Yeah, the tomato
plant. Not the tomato smell, the tomato plant smell, which includes the tomato leaves and vines and stems and everything else that comes with the tomato plant.
Yes.
It's got a fantastic, clean smell. It makes your whole house smell like a fresh veggie garden.
Yeah.
If that's the only veggie you have, it'll make your whole house and yard and everywhere surrounding always smell on a daily basis like a fresh garden. It's got this pungent acidity. It still smells kind of like a tomato.
Oh, yeah.
But not really. It's like a green smell associated with a tomato. It's like a big bowl of freshly picked tomatoes in a bowl on your counter in the sun with some of the vine still attached. That's what it smells like. You can get it in a candle.
What?
You can get tomato leaf smell in a candle. I am addicted to these things. Ergo makes them. It's
Ergo.
A soy candle.
Is that the villain of Ghostbusters 2?
That's Vigo.
Vigo. Ergo.
That's okay. Vigo, dude.
Okay, sorry.
It's Vigo, the Carpathian.
Carpathian.
Come on.
Ergo.
Did you really think I wouldn't know that one?
No.
Honestly. Who are you dealing with here? You just don't realize who you're dealing with. I know everything about movies, especially the best movies. I know Ghostbusters 2 didn't do as well as Ghostbusters 1. And maybe that's why Bill Murray doesn't want to come back and do Ghostbusters 3, but they're going to bring him back whether he likes it or not. He's just going to be a ghost.
I see it this way. If Dan wasn't in there and Bill Murray was, people would be just as upset.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd in Ghostbusters is like a perfect peanut butter sandwich.
Right.
So right now we have a peanut butter with bread and no jelly.
Dan Aykroyd, butter, and Murray.
Yeah, yeah. No jelly. So hopefully we find something like Nutella or fresh berries to make a wonderful sandwich.
Ectoplasm. You can use ectoplasm.
It just won't be a peanut butter sandwich, peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
It'll be a little different.
But it'll be a great sandwich. I'm really
Be like taking out the jelly and putting in bananas.
Or Nutella.
Because you're still going to have Egon. You're still going to have Winston. Come on.
Everything else that holds that movie together is still there.
We went from tomatoes to Ghostbusters. I don't know how that happened. But for a Caprese salad, you want to use a different type of tomato.
Yeah.
You don't want to use the little meaty plum ones that you would otherwise use in sauce. It won't work for a Caprese salad. You want the big beefsteak ones.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is very intuitive. You want to find the biggest, roundest, prettiest tomatoes you can. I love the heirloom, the burgundy ones. You go with the big green ones that are ripe.
And just for
green.
Anyone who's just turning in, we are talking about tomatoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And I was like, what else would we talk about? But I guess,
Sweater tomatoes.
Sweater tomatoes.
Get the big beefsteak tomatoes.
Yeah.
They're because the big round slices of tomato are the thing that makes the Caprese salad pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the flavor of the tomato, honestly, you're slicing it, you're putting it on a plate, you can alter the flavor of the tomato.
Yeah, just a little bit of salt.
You've got to have salt on a tomato.
Yeah.
No matter what you're doing with it.
No matter what.
You got to have salt. Salt brings out the flavor of the tomato. It does. You get your slices of a nice buffalo or whatever kind of mozzarella you like. I like Mexican Oaxaca. It's basically Mexican mozzarella. It's smooth. It's soft. It's nutty. Doesn't have that grainy feel that you get all over your mouth when you're chewing up a piece of mozzarella. Mm-hmm. Oaxaca's a little bit smoother.
Yes.
So I like to swap them out in my experience. I'm a little bit weird that way. When people go Caprese, they go old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
They do the basil, they do the olive oil, they do the tomato, they do the slice of mozzarella. I like to get funky. I like to put the tomato with a slice of Oaxaca.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have basil, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I won't mind. I'll usually put something else on there like a prosciutto.
That's really good.
It's my excuse to put meat on a salad.
Have you tried it with mint?
Yes. Have tried it with mint. Now, if you're sending your spouse to the grocery store with a grocery list and telling them to buy basil, make sure you specify that you want the fresh basil, not the dried basil, because I made that mistake, assuming, that I would be doing the grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And of course, I forwarded a list by text. And so it loses a little, you don't know. It says
you know
basil.
You're writing to yourself. Yeah.
He knows basil in a jar.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Okay, but he doesn't realize I want fresh basil. Mm. I would know I want fresh basil. Don't assume that your significant other, when going to the grocery store, knows what the heck you're talking about. Because they don't. They don't know what is going on in your little weird culinary mind.
Exactly.
They don't know what you're planning. So specify that you want fresh basil. And that's, of course, why I didn't have fresh basil, but that kind of spawned the birth of the Caprese salad completely covered in meat.
Nice.
Which, is tasty. You can get interesting with the oils. You can also add a balsamic vinegar.
Vinegar is very good with tomato.
Yeah. So you want to put that on there. Good combinations. You can get some very interesting flavors.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I experimented this past week with a almond-flavored olive oil and a chocolate balsamic vinegar.
With tomato and...
Yes.
Oh, wow.
With tomato and mozzarella and prosciutto.
Huh.
And fresh ground pepper over the top. It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting it to be weird, sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes if you add a weird dessert, chocolate almond combination of oil and vinegar that in your head is kind of tastes like a Reese's peanut butter cup if you put them together, that might be tasty because it's sweet and salty and acidic. What goes better with a Caprese salad than something that's sweet and salty and acidic? That's what a Caprese salad is.
Yeah.
Don't do this at home. It didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to, which is common.
Yeah, that's how you find out what's good.
When you're chefing, when you're doing this thing in the creation of food, sometimes you might discover things that don't necessarily work, but I eat it anyway. When we come back, we're going to have our buddy Dave the Vitamin Guy talking about hanging with the stones, not the Rolling Stones. We're talking gallstones and kidney stones. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.